I think really, really important. And I heard it from my Rosh Yeshiva 13 years ago, Yeshiva at Kotel. It was pretty cool. And it was like an awesome shiur for me. I remember being so blown away for it. Why? A, because he answered a question which really bothered me. Isn't that really cool? When you learn the parsha and you have a question, you struggle with it, and then the rabbi gives an answer to a question that really bothered you. So I love that. So I hope that this will also answer a question that has bothered you guys as you've done your Shnai Mikra. And also, the other clincher is it had a really practical application to my life. Plus, it totally changed the whole way I viewed Sefer Bereishis. So without pumping it up too much, this week's parsha, we have the blessing of Ephraim and Menashe with Yaakov. And Yaakov does the old switcheroo, right? We all know this. Where? As the Torah says, I had the place. Let me get it again. It's in the beginning of, it's in the middle of Rishon. Let me find it. Okay. But you... Wow, I never even imagined to see you, and I'm seeing your children. So Menashe is on Yaakov's right, the primary blessing, and Ephraim's on his left, the secondary blessing, and they're coming before him, and Yaakov is blind, which reminds us of what? What story? Who else is blind? Yitzchak was blind, and there's kissing and hugging. So there's a lot of, you know, Rabbi Forman Torah going on here of a rewind. I don't know if he says it, but he should. And of course, Ephraim is puts it on left of Ephraim, who's the tzair. When else have you heard this language of a young child being a tzair? Who else is called a tzair? A young, actually, the opposite. Who is Yaakov? Right, Yaakov is a tzair, and so is Rachel. So there's a lot of big stuff going on there. But he does the switcheroo. So he's going to give the blessing, and then Yosef steps in there and says, wait, Dad, hold up a second. He thinks it's very bad in his eyes what's about to go down. And he does a lot of chutzpah. Yosef switches his hands and says, no, Dad, you don't understand. You got to bless the firstborn first. You got to bless Menashe, silly dad. And his father refuses. And that language is very strong. When else have we heard this language? Yosef. When Yosef refuses, right, when he refuses to sleep with Eshet Potiphar, he uses all of his kochos to refuse that temptation. And Torah uses the exact same language. Yaakov refuses to bless Menashe first. He says, no, Yosef. Yadati b'ni yadati. I know my child. I know what I'm doing here. Gam hu yiel am. Yeah, he's going to be great. Gam hu yigdal. He's going to be awesome. Ulam achiv katani dal mimeno v'zaro yem lo agoim. But his little brother, he's going to be the one who is going to spread out throughout the world. And he blesses them. And we bless our children. Yisim chalachim v'yafran b'nasha. We parallel this blessing every Shabbos. Hazrat Hashem. And the question here is obvious. Okay? Why does Yaakov do this? Okay, let's try to take Yosef's position. From Yosef's perspective, why was Yosef so insistent that Yaakov not do the old switcheroo? What was Yosef thinking? Yeah.
Because he was given
as a younger child to be influenced by his Exactly. Yosef knows from his own life experience what a terrible thing it is to favor one child openly over the other children. He himself experienced his whole life of pain because of Yaakov giving him the ketonet pasit. So Yosef says, Dad, don't you learn your lesson? What are you doing? Right? And Yosef, I don't know if he's thinking this, but if he's read the Torah, if he knows the history of the Jewish people, he knows that that's the number one lesson of Sefer Bereishis. Stop with the favoritism. Let the older one get the older blessings and the younger one the younger. Don't do the old switcheroo. Let's start from the beginning. Who's the first one that gets favored and it causes strife in the family?
Cain
and Hevel by God himself. For Cain
is Hevel is favored over Cain, and that doesn't end well, does it? Right? Then let's go on. Who else gets favored? Yitzchak over Yishmael. Excellent. Then who gets favored? Well, first Esav over Yaakov, and then Yaakov over Esav. Good. Then who else gets favored? Younger versus older? Well, Rachel and Leah. Very good. And then we've got Yosef. And eventually we'll get the motion. All right, hold on. We're going there. But basically, if there's one lesson that we could learn from Sefer Bereishis, Yosef's telling Yaakov, stop with the favoritism. It doesn't work. It just leads to jealousy and bad. Bad idea, Dad. Don't do it. Just let Menashe get the firstborn blessing. All right? So that's Yosef's perspective. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah? Any questions? Thoughts? Okay. I personally empathize a lot from Yosef, with Yosef's perspective. But the challenge here is to understand Yaakov's perspective. Yaakov seems to really know what he's doing here. He says, Yadati b'ni yadati. I know, but I'm doing it anyway. Why is Yaakov doing what he's doing? And more importantly for us, what's the lesson that we can learn from Yaakov's weird favoritism of Menashe and Ephraim? And by the way, it goes on. Because even after this, he blesses Yosef more than the other brothers. Seemingly, again, showing, hey, I love Yosef. He's my man. You other guys, say it. Reuben gets a little curse. And Yosef, like, what's going on here? Why doesn't Yaakov learn his lesson? I know we could say, yeah, Yaakov made a mistake, but we're trying to don Yaakov Lakov's hoot here. What's going on here? Why is he favoring Yosef at the end of the day? Any suggestions? It's a tough question. Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't go in order of, like, the oldest gets what they want. Like, there is the idea of, like, Pishnayim and the oldest is supposed to get, like, at the end of the day, like, just because, you know, like, I think, like, it was only with Hana, Elkanah, and Hana, and, like, why are you supposed to, like, give you extra, like, Judah, but kind of the point was, like, it's not that I want more to feel like compared to the extra one to the son. There's something about, like, what's Yashar, and what is, like, what I want, what is the best way for it? I'm not doing it because I'm being paid favors. I made a mistake. I did it because I think that's the best right way. And to, like, call favors is just, like, it's not the point.
Not the right word.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so John's saying is, I'm going to agree with you and build on it a little bit. Okay? So one perspective is simply to say that Yaakov had to do what was right. It doesn't matter how people are going to perceive it. Yaakov knew, again, he's speaking as Yisrael now with Ruach HaKodesh, that Ephraim was going to do great things for the Jewish people, and he needed to give him the kelim through this bracha to do that, and it doesn't matter what the consequences are. He's got to do what's right now, and he's got to give Ephraim that bracha. Similarly, one could even argue that Yaakov is the shitato, because when else did Yaakov act according to what was right and not according to what seemed was fair? Well, with Yosef, with Rachel and Leah, and with himself, when he usurps the blessing from Esav, again, Yaakov is saying, it doesn't matter how people are going to perceive it. I'm a man of emes. I'm going to do what I believe is it needs to be done for the sake of the Jewish people. You definitely, that's part one of this answer. But I actually want to take it beyond that. And I want to say, the real heroes of this story is not about Yaakov and Yosef. The real hero of this story, and the reason why this story closes Sefer Bereishit, is Menashe, and on a secondary level, Ephraim. Why is that? Because perhaps what the Torah is trying to tell us is that life will not be fair. Right? It's not fair that if I'm the firstborn child, I'm Menashe, that I don't get as big of a blessing as my brother Ephraim. That doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. And that's what's happening over and over in Sefer Bereishis. Yosef feels like it's not fair. He's kind of forced himself up. The brothers feel like it's not fair. They're trying to get rid of Yosef. Everyone, Cain feels like it's not fair that his korban is not accepted. It's not fair, and therefore we feel jealousy, and therefore we try to take matters into our own hands and do whatever needs to be done to equal things out. And the only way for Mashiach to come, the only way for this sibling rivalry to be solved, and the only way for there to be true peace in Am Yisrael is for us to stop worrying about what's fair and what's not fair, because fair and not fair is not relevant in our life situation. And instead to ask ourselves the question is, what does God want for me? What does God want for me? And can I be appreciative of the blessing that he's given me? And it's between me and God and myself, and whatever, what's going on over there is completely irrelevant. Only when Menashe can do that, can there be true harmony in the world, and can we go on to live a happy life. In other words, I may not be the lead guitarist getting all the kavod, but I'm going to be the drummer, and I have my own tafkid in life. I'm going to be, you know, playing my role in life. And if Menashe is able to do that tikkun, then there can be true harmony and peace in Am Yisrael. And Menashe and Ephraim are able to do that. Apparently, we don't see them any strife coming from that. And that is why we bless our children by Menashe and Ephraim, because they are the people who are able to achieve this harmony of not looking about my brother, but only caring about their contribution to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, John is right that goes to the next step is Aaron and Moshe, where Aaron is even happy for Moshe when Moshe becomes the leader of the Jewish people, which is completely unfair because Aaron's been serving them for this whole time. And Aaron should feel jealous, but instead of feeling jealous, he feels the opposite emotion, feels love and joy towards Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the vort that my Rosh Yeshiva gave 13 years ago at a Kotel, that the whole tikkun of Sefer Bereishis has to end with Menashe and Ephraim, because it's all about transcending this brotherly jealousy and instead going towards just being a sameach v'chalko attitude of being happy with yourselves. Okay, so just apply that practically, because I really want to, you know, bring this down to the Lamaisa level. I'm not going to go super into it, and maybe we'll do a part two next time because I don't want to go over. But the question is, how do we overcome feelings of jealousy? All right, let's take a practical scenario. I don't know, your friend gets up there for the Dvar Torah, the big Dvar Torah, at Oraita's big, you know, the parents' Shabbaton or the alumni Shabbaton. And he's saying these hilarious Dvar Torah. He's cracking everyone up and he's quoting Rashi. And you know you could have given that Dvar Torah, but Rabbini didn't ask you to give the Dvar Torah. And you're just sitting there and you can't help it, but you're feeling jealous. You're feeling like it's so unfair. Why does he get to make all the jokes, right? Or your friend gets called up to daven Kabbalat Shabbat on the roof, and everyone's dancing and bringing all that energy, and you're just like, I could have done that. I could have picked up a much more awesome song. Hallelujah, that's so overrated. Everyone does that song, right? I could have made my own song. It would have been so much better. And you're feeling these feelings of jealousy and negative. And you know you don't want to, but you're feeling it. Okay, so how do we deal with these emotions that we don't want to feel? Okay, that's the question that I posed before us. So I'm going to just kind of throw like five steps before you, for a person. How do you deal with that? Okay. Step one, recognize that you're feeling jealousy right now. Recognize. Don't put it upon them. Don't blame that person. He's not on tune now. That joke wasn't funny. Realize it's not him. It's me. Like Menashe, it's not about Ephraim. He's irrelevant. It's about me. Okay. And realize that jealousy is really just emotions of insecurity, of fear, of all sorts of stuff going on inside yourself. And it's not real. It's not about them. It's something I have inside of myself, which is normal. It's natural to have those emotions. You're not a bad person for having those emotions, but it's not something that I want to let grow and grow and grow. It's just a thought which is growing into a feeling if I dwell upon it. But if I look at it and say, there's jealousy, and again, what funny, hilarious, and I don't make such a big deal about it, then it'll probably just go. Okay, it was jealousy. And then I'll move on and keep dancing. Okay? That's step one. Recognize that it's jealousy. Step two, if you're still struggling with this jealousy, and jealousy emotions keep going back into your head, recognize that the Torah really doesn't want you to feel jealous, to dwell on jealousy. Right? It's one of the Ten Commandments, Lo Tachmod. And all the rabbis are going to tell you, don't be jealous. It's against emunah. It's against belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you really believe that everything's from God, you won't be jealous. Mechazik yourself to say jealousy is not a healthy emotion, and I should not go into that emotion. I should leave that to the side. Okay. If you're still struggling with it, journal, write it down, recognize you're having these emotions, talk to a friend about it. If you're still struggling with it, which is probably rare at this point, and it's still bothering you, you can approach your friend and say what they're doing is bothering you and talk to them about it, right? That's the mature way to deal with the situation. Perhaps you may have to separate yourself. If every time you go to that minion and he's down a Kabbalah Shabbat, you feel this overwhelming feelings of jealousy and bad emotions, don't go to that minion. Go out for Shabbos. Go to a different minion. Whatever. You have to be honest with yourself and recognize that you don't want to have these negative emotions overcome you. Okay? But remove yourself from this scenario. And this is something even crazy. You can actually play with yourself and say, hey, maybe I'll actually be extra friendly to that guy. Maybe I'll give him a hug and say, what an awesome Dvar Torah. Just to show that I'm an awesome person that can transcend these feelings of jealousy, these negative emotions, and instead embrace emunah and hakarat hatov. And I can look, hey, if I'm feeling these feelings of insecurity because he's whatever, maybe I can do kina sofrim and build upon myself. If he's doing that siyum on masechet and I'm feeling really jealous, hey, maybe I can build my kelim to make my own siyum, right? And to build upon myself so that I can take these feelings, these negative emotions, and ultimately take something positive. And build my emunah and build my learning and build myself so that I am a confident and secure human being and who's not jealous. Ultimately, what it comes down to is recognizing that jealousy is something about me. It's not about the other person. And I know that all of the things I'm talking about are introspective things that take a long time to build upon. So hopefully this is just to kind of open our minds to start thinking about these concepts. And Bezrat Hashem, with tefillah and cheshbon nefesh and a true hidbodedut and a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can overcome all of these negative emotions and turn them into a greater connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should help us to really do this. To be Menashe and Ephraim. Someone want to say a Baruch HaChrein and then we'll say it again? Okay, so we say Negan while somebody finds a bracha. How about Amal Chagol? Amal Chagol Ezo Isi. That's a bracha, you know what I'm saying? Amal Chagol Ezo Isi. Piece of advice I just remembered, you could remember this song, you could sing the song when you're feeling feelings of jealousy, it'll trigger this whole shir in your mind and remind you to cleave to Dveikos and Amuna instead of insecurity. Thank you guys so much for coming and shagging with me.